Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website, themaindamie.com, or visit us on Twitter and Facebook at The Main Damie. Thank you for joining us for They Call This a Movie. I am Anthony, and with me as always is Dan and Mark. Say hello, gentlemen.
Yo.
Hello, Internet. Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays indeed. This is our final Christmas slash holiday episode of They Call This Movie for the year of 2018. Maybe we'll do something for New Year's, but in terms of Christmas, this is our last episode. Previously, we did, I don't remember the first one we did, but we did We Wish You a Turtle Christmas and then Star Wars Holiday Special before that. That's all we did, yeah. So this week, we have come together to talk about probably one of the most infamous of the bad movies of all time. It is Santa Claus Conquers the Martians from 1964.
Yeah,
directed by Nicholas Webster. And I've apologized once before for making you guys watch a movie. I believe it was Jack and Jill. And I'm sorry once again, because this movie was just boring.
This one, I do not accept your apology. Bad, dude.
I think it's one of the original, like, Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes. That's kind of what put this movie on the map. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, is it dry. It is dry as hell.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any previous experience with this movie?
I think the Nostalgia Critic might have talked about this movie at one point or another. I don't know if he did a review on it, but I think he mentioned it. Other than that, no, I have no dealings with this movie.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mark?
No, I didn't even see it on Mystery Science Theater, so
okay.
I had nothing going in to this.
Gotcha.
I wasn't even sure I picked the right movie.
I was the same way. I was like, this can't be the right movie, right?
Yeah. I think my parents bought it, a copy of it on VHS from like Sam's Club for like a dollar that never went watched. But other than that, I never really watched it. I've never seen the Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode. I've seen plenty of other episodes that they've done, but not that one. Moving a cat. Hold on 1 second. This is, you know, it's always constantly been considered one of the worst movies of all time. And I don't know if it's one of the worst movies of all time, but it is, like I said, I'm going to keep reiterating how dull this movie is.
Yeah. Yeah, there was so much, the attempts at comedy didn't even work.
I don't even think there's any attempts at besides what's his name? Droppo.
That's who I was talking about. Yeah.
Droppo is stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this was supposed to be a kids movie.
Yeah, it felt like a kids movie of that era, but just a bad version of those. This would have been right. This would have been around the time of all those Disney ones, like Herbie and Parent Trap, and all that stuff coming out in the early to mid '60s. You know, that was geared towards, you know, the first ones like that going out there. But it felt like that kind of, you know, trying for that production level, but just not having anything behind it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this was a worse version. Like it was trying to be, what was it, Babes in Toyland? You ever see that movie?
Yeah, with Laurel and Hardy?
Yes.
That movie's the shit. Yeah.
I feel like this was just a really, 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 really poor version of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're going to keep this short because it is a very dull movie. So we're gonna get through this pretty quick. What were we gonna say, Mark?
I said I'll leave my one comment that until the end. I'll let you go through the whole story and then.
All right, I am going to go lightning quick through this story because yeah. it's pretty simple story, and I started writing notes and then I couldn't do it. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, 1964, directed by Nicholas Webster, immediately opens on one of the most grating songs of all time, and I've had it stuck in my head for the past 2 days.
Hooray for Santa Claus, or something, right?
SANTACLAUS, hooray for Santa Claus.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's been stuck in my head, and it'll probably play at the top of this podcast. That is the one amount of editing that I ever do.
Jenny just left the means that you insert sound clip here.
Yep. Why doesn't she release another episode of the Married Cinematic Universe before she talks about editing one? All right. I'm still waiting for the next episode. So, anyway, so question for you guys: "Hooray for Santa Claus" or the Silver Shamrock theme song? Which is more annoying?
I like the Silver Shamrock theme song. So
yeah, this one's way worse.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a
real song. It's got like verses and choruses and everything like that.
Like I said, this one's fit the time frame.
Yes.
You know.
It is annoyingly catchy too.
Yeah. It's a very you know, that pop era of music, it fits right in with that.
Yeah. It's what was that?
This movie is just very forgettable in all facets.
Yeah. Pretty much. But after the credits, it starts opens up on Martian children watching a television broadcast of Andy Henderson, who has the worst job in the world because he is broadcasting live from the North Pole, and he's there to interview Santa Claus, and Santa Claus gets his name wrong the entire interview. He is introduced as Andy Henderson, and Santa Claus calls him Mr. Anderson the entire time.
That's great.
I didn't notice that.
I noticed it because I was watching it with subtitles, and it kept calling him Mr. Henderson, and I'm like, but that's not what he's saying. I rewound to the beginning just to hear what the main anchor calls Andy Henderson, and just to confirm that he's called him Mr. Henderson.
Yeah, so deaf people don't know of this error, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, they don't know. They're blissfully ignorant. So Mr. Henderson is interviewing Santa Claus, getting a view of the toy shop. One of the elves decides to start making Martians, which look strikingly like the Martians. So
very familiar. I'm surprised he was so spot on with it.
Yeah, Winky's hiding something. His name was Winky. He knows more than he lets on. And then during that interview, we then cut to the Martians, and we get introduced to Droppo, who is the big dumb Martian who likes to sleep a lot, and he's just a big dummy.
I felt like they were trying to make him out to be like Buddy Hackett.
Yeah, it looked like they tried to get Buddy Hackett but couldn't get him, so they got this guy that kind of looked like him.
Right.
And then we learn a few things about the Martians. They eat food pills and they watch Earth programs, but they shouldn't be watching Earth programs. It rots their brains, according to the parents. They don't understand human things like loving care. And currently the children are very upset and they're not eating. So Kemar is the leader of the Martians. He heads to reach out to the elder Chochum with his head council to see what's up with the children and what Chochum thinks. Along for the ride is Voldar, who is the antagonist of this film.
Yes.
He hates Kemar. He hates everything Kemar thinks and does, because he thinks he's the one that should be in charge, essentially.
He has an awesome mustache, though.
He does have a pretty sweet mustache. So Voldar begrudgingly meets Kemar at Chochum's. What's fucking names? Chochum. And Chochum says that the problem is that the children don't have childhoods. They're just adults in children bodies. They need to learn what it's like to have fun, and they have to have Santa Claus. So they're sort of like Vulcans in that their upbringing is very logical and stuff like that. So after this meeting with Chochum, Kemar decides that the only thing to do is to kidnap the one and only Santa. So they set a course for Earth with the council chiefs, and then 5 minutes of stock footage plays.
Oh, yeah. the best moments of the movie.
Yeah, the stock footage. Great production value in that stock footage. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So there. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I literally, when that stock footage of... There was a sign of, like, the space program, right? With the shuttle.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah,
I was going to say, as soon as that popped on, I literally, alone in my office, laughed out loud. Look at that.
I skipped ahead. I was like, all right, what else?
I think at this point, this was one of the times I zoned out. I zoned out space in this movie.
Yeah, so... good. Yeah, so after about 5 minutes of stock footage, they land near the North Pole, or they land in a cold place, because there's two children hanging out, just like in the middle of the night, just hanging out outside. One kid's trying to sleep, the other girl's like, I'm just hanging out.
It looked like they were in the woods from The Wizard of Oz.
Right. It looked kind of like they were lost, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
never explained. No one cares for these children.
Yeah, these children. So no one cares for the children, and then promptly the children get kidnapped by these Martians, and they take them on their ship. They demand to get. They ask for the whereabouts of Santa Claus. The idiot kid tells them where to find Santa Claus.
Snitch.
And they head to the North Pole. While they're at the North Pole, the two children escape. Try to warn Santa. Voldar chases them, but then gets chased off by a polar bear, which is
realistic polar bear.
Is one of the best parts of the movie, because it is one of the worst bear costumes of all time.
That costume's great.
Yeah.
But they also have one of the best robot costumes of all time.
Yes, because once they get he gets chased off by the polar bear, Kemar sends out Torg to go find the children and to bring them back. And Torg is a giant robot, but he's basically just what you think a cardboard robot would look like.
It's Awesome-O from South Park.
It's Awesome-O from South Park. Yeah, exactly. So it's just a dude in a bunch of cardboard boxes made up to look like a robot.
That's exactly what it is.
So then the robot catches the two children, and Voldar tries to get him to just destroy them. I believe his exact words are destroy them or crush them.
Crush them.
Yep. So Voldar is 100% on board with child murder, which is great.
Yeah.
That kind of puts me on Voldar's side in this one, because at least he's got a story arc. But unfortunately, Torg only listens to Kemar, and Kemar would not let him do that. So they put the kids back on the ship, try and get Torg to attack Santa Claus or bring him. But then he doesn't, because of Santa's magic, I guess, decides that. He just becomes a toy, is what they said. So then they just freeze the workers and Mrs. Claus setting up the good old fashioned misogyny.
This is the best part of the movie.
Where Santa Claus is basically like, I kind of like Mrs. Claus like this without the ability to talk.
Oh, boy.
I think the exact line is, This is the quietest I think I've ever seen you. That made me laugh. That was pretty good.
It's very 1959 of this movie. So after that, Santa Claus and the kids get on board. They get taken prisoner. And basically, they're just going to bring them back to Mars. The kids are witnesses, so they can't let them go home. And Santa is going to bring Christmas to the Martians. On the way back, Voldar decides that this is not a good idea. There shouldn't be Christmas on Mars. Everything is perfect the way it is. So he tries to shoot the kids and Santa out the airlock.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty excellent. I mean, that's how you get rid of an alien in the Alien movies.
And I don't know if this is the first time, but it's the one I remember the most, where Santa is just a moron.
He must have just done it by accident.
Yeah. I don't know if it's supposed to be that he always sees the good in people, but it was playing off as Santa was just an idiot.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Santa in this movie is he's surprisingly chill for being kidnapped and forced to work for, like it was basically slave labor.
Yeah, it's like just a minor inconvenience for him.
Right. Yeah, that Santa goes to Burning Man.
No. But luckily, Santa manages to escape with the children through chimney powers.
Yep.
And then after that,
Burning Man.
Kemar decides to put Voldar under arrest for his insolence. Attempted murder, essentially. Yeah. And then Voldar, this is where my notes end. I believe Voldar gets away and hides out in a cave with a couple of his cronies as they land back on Mars.
Yes.
So once they get to Mars, Kemar immediately puts Santa Claus to work, just pushing a button for automated toy making.
Yeah.
And the children are just kind of there. I guess they're kind of like the Martian children's new pets.
Yeah,
like here, they're adopted. They're like their foster children now.
They're rescue Martian children.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, we don't really know what to do with you, but you can't go back because then you're going to tell everybody about Santa Claus being kidnapped and brought back to the Mars. So have some pills.
Yeah, yeah, and they never once talk about their parents.
Yeah,
we should be home with our parents. They're just kind of like, yeah, I guess we're here.
Mm-hmm. So Santa Claus goes to work, and at one point, while he's off sleeping somewhere, Droppo decides to try on his outfit, his costume, his Santa suit, and then Droppo is kidnapped by Voldar and his minions, thinking that it's the real Santa Claus.
Thankfully, the Santa Claus was not in effect when this movie was made.
Right. He becomes the big guy.
Right. And
looking back on it, Droppo is wearing the Martian helmet the whole time.
It's quite obviously Droppo the entire time.
I think at that point was another time that I kind of spaced out, but then I woke up and I'm seeing that they think that Droppo was Santa, and I just kind of went, okay. I see where this is going. I just phased back out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then, so while they're picking up Droppo as well, they sabotage the toy machine.
Which is
again just a minor inconvenience. Santa eventually fixes it. It's really not really has no effect on the plot.
They just crossed the wire. But
Voldar thinks he's captured Santa Claus, so he goes to swing his dick at Kemar, essentially.
He comes in with that big dick energy.
Big dick energy, and then it's revealed that, hey, asshole, you don't have Santa Claus because he's standing right here.
Kemar counters with some BDE of his own.
Mm-hmm. And then they lock him and one of his cronies in the supply closet for who knows what that plan is. But eventually they get the drop on Kemar and knock him out. And then Voldar once again tries to put an end to Santa Claus. But Santa Claus is waiting for him, swinging his own big dick energy. and he has the children just attack the shit out of Voldar.
They do.
Until Kemar comes to. And I don't remember what they wind up doing to Voldar. They just probably send him to the Forbidden Zone, maybe. The Phantom Zone. There we go. Or they cut off his head or something like that. But he's never seen again, I don't think.
Right. I guess he's like shamed away.
Yeah. I guess the plan is that they're going to bring the kids back home, but I don't think we ever see that happen. It's never shown. And Santa Claus, I guess, is going to go back to his Santa Claus ways.
His claws is still frozen.
Yeah. He's like, I like her better this way. Ho, ho, ho.
Can I have one of those guns?
Yeah. And I guess it sets up that Droppo is going to be the Santa Claus of Mars from now on. That's what I got out of it.
That's what I think they were going for.
Explain that, yeah.
And that's essentially the movie. They cut out. I really did not skip over any plot point. That is essentially the plot. and we wrapped it up in record time, ladies and gentlemen.
And my one theory of this movie is that this guy was trying to do a thing of sort of comparing the Soviet Union and the United States.
Probably.
They do mention that, right?
It's probably a Cold War reading into this movie.
Yeah. Look at them. They put wires into their kids' brains and make them not have childhoods.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a little bit of an underlying. Yeah, there's a bit of a tone there, I guess.
Yeah. But this movie does not hold up in terms of the so bad it's good. I got to be honest. I thought I was going to have a lot more fun with this movie. It's just kind of, it's a B movie. It's a B sci-fi movie. It's a B sci-fi movie about Christmas. And it just exists. It plods through the plot. It's a long 85 minutes.
Yeah, it's not even like any good acting at all.
I wouldn't expect that good acting. I would just expect something so hilariously bad. It's just like, when is this over?
God.
Right. Yeah. I'm expecting Troll 2. I'm not expecting just like, all right, when is this over? And that's.
I remember looking at one point, there was 27 minutes left. So I was like, oh, okay, it's almost done. And then that 27 minutes must have gone on for another hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was so slow, and there's no jokes. The Santa Claus is terrible in it. The kids are terrible in it. The only good... I liked... What was his name? The guy with the mustache. Voldar?
Voldar, yeah. Voldar. He was the best.
I think he was probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, he was.
Like Mark said, he does kind of, he exudes big dick energy throughout the whole film. Like, he's so cocksure.
Yeah. Yeah, his arc is good. He wants to be the leader. He thinks Kemar is a schmuck because he wants these kids to have fun. And Voldar is like, no, fuck that. What we have going is good. And that's the best case for us Martians is to...
Yeah, he wants to go back to being a warfaring society.
Yeah. He thinks kids are too soft. They need their safe spaces.
In today's society, I think kids need to watch that. Because our kids are soft, and we need to be more of a warfaring nation.
Voldar is just like, oh, these kids with their participation trophies. Little snowflakes.
Yeah,
Voldar voted for Trump. That's
what we're getting at.
Yeah, that's 100% sure. He's super psyched about this wall.
Yeah.
Keep all these Earth children out.
Yep, he's already pledged to the GoFundMe.
Oh, absolutely. All his Martian dollars.
Martian dollars.
Oh, Jesus.
I think we have a new winner for terrible movie.
Yeah, I think this is the worst.
And,
at least Skyscraper was is so bad it's good. This was just like
again, Say what you will about Skyscraper, but it has boobies, right?
Yeah, that's right. And no Martian boobs in this one.
Exactly. And that really makes up for any shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
And although I will say the Kemar's wife, she looked like she had a decent rack on her.
I'll have to go back and look. I don't remember.
Yeah, I paid attention to that.
Yeah, just, you know, if you need another reason to go watch this movie.
Kemar's wife could get it, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Where are they? This is one of those things where I kind of want to see where are they now.
Probably dead. Yeah. They're probably all dead.
Yeah, the only person that ever really made a thing was, I think, one of the Martian children is Pia Zadora. And that name doesn't really mean that much to me. I think she was like a Broadway star and things like that. But in Naked Gun 33 and a third, she is the singing, dancing woman at the Oscars, where like she winds up on his shoulders and she gets the microphone stuck in her mouth.
That's pretty good. Good for her.
So but that's all I know her from. But she's a relatively famous name. And I think this was her first role. And I think she plays one of the Martian girl she plays.
Also, this movie is very misleading because Santa doesn't conquer anybody.
Yeah, in a sense, he doesn't. You know, I guess the idea.
What was Dan trying to say? Santa Claus never actually conquers the Martians.
Yes.
Did he get? Did we lose him?
No, I got him.
Okay.
Yeah, one of my dogs barked, so I don't know if Santa never conquers anybody.
Nope. He just kind of makes one joke about Martian mellows.
That's right.
Martian. I don't remember what the setup of it was, but I know the punchline was Martian mellows.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was a stupid joke anyway. It's a Santa Claus joke. Santa Claus dad joke from 1959. Or 1964.
Bill McCutcheon, who plays Droppo, is in Steel Magnolias.
There you go.
So that's good.
No deal, McCutcheon. That moon money's mine.
Pick up some of that moon money for me, will you?
Royce McCutcheon. No deal, McCutcheon. That moon money's mine.
I just watched that episode, too.
That's so good.
The world of Marge Simpson.
Yeah, so we're just going to start talking about The Simpsons now.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's time to get to the... is there trivia?
Yeah, we've got trivia. I only have 8 questions this week, but we do have trivia. Anybody, if you're into watching So Bad They're Good movies, I would skip this unless you're going to watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000 version.
Yeah,
because I'm sure that's a great episode. They do good work over there, and we wouldn't be here without it. So, in terms of this podcast, not in general, not life. skip this one. It's not fun, and it's a long 85 minutes.
You feel every minute of it,
and the song will get stuck in your head for a couple of days.
Santacalous.
When I was telling my coworker what I was watching, he started to sing the song.
Wow! So he knew it. He knew it. He kept just watching
the Mystery Science Theater.
Okay. Santacalous. Hooray for Santa Claus.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. So why don't
Santa Claus died in 1973.
Oh, Santa Claus died?
Yep, John Call.
Oh, the guy that played Santa Claus. Oh,
man, I think he almost broke Mark's heart.
Well, again, with the way today's society is going, Santa will be dead in the next 5 years.
Yep.
Because he can't afford his diabetes medication.
Yep.
That's it.
Or now, I guess it's he or she can't afford their diabetes medicine. We can't assume Santa's gender because it's a real person, I guess.
I'm not
so trivia.
Okay, trivia. I have 8 questions. We'll still go how we usually do it with 10, so we'll go back and forth. Who went first the last time? I never remember this.
It was Mark. Yeah.
Okay. So Dan goes first. I don't have a tiebreaker.
So just don't tie.
So don't tie. I could think of one pretty quick, but just know that going in. Okay, Dan, number one. David Johansen, who played the Ghost of Christmas Past in Scrooged, rose to fame as a frontman for what punk band?
The New York City Dolls?
Yep. I'll accept New York Dolls.
New York Dolls, okay.
I'll accept that. 1-0.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Mark.
Going to tie it up.
Mark, who was the villain in the Rankin-Bass special Santa Claus is Coming to Town? What was the character's name?
I know this.
Is it the Heat Miser?
Nope. Is incorrect. Nah. Dan.
Burger Meister, Meister Burger.
That's correct.
That's it.
It's going to be a clean sweep this week.
Yes, it is.
All right, Dan.
Burger Meister, Meister Burger.
What flavor of Jell-O does Aunt Bethany bring as a gift in Christmas Vacation?
Lime.
That's correct.
Oh, Jesus.
Would you have known that, Mark?
No.
All right. Okay. Mark.
Yes.
In Home Alone, okay. Joe Pesci plays a character named Harry Lime. Orson Welles once played a character by the same name in what classic film? It is not Citizen Kane.
That's what I was going to guess. Even though that probably is the only Orson Welles movie I know off the top of my head. I don't know. I'm going to stick with a holiday theme. Was he in like Holiday Inn by any chance?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. Damn. Can you steal?
War of the Worlds?
No. I think we're going with that. No, it was The Third Man.
Mm. Okay. I didn't know Orson Welles was in the movie.
Yes.
Nor did I.
Dan, I actually have another Christmas Vacation question for you.
Okay.
How many people sit down to Christmas Eve dinner in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Jeez. I'm trying to think of this the right way. Yeah, Clark. Give me 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that. I'm gonna say 14.
It's incorrect. Mark?
10?
No, the correct answer is 13.
I was going to say 13. I was going to say it. I listen to you.
I guess we have an audience. Okay.
Bruce.
Mark, your question. In Elf, what toy was Buddy in charge of making but could not keep up with the other elves?
So you watch this way more often than I do.
Mm-hmm.
A little Nutcracker doll? I don't know.
Incorrect. Dan.
That's a sketch.
That's correct.
Okay.
Dan knows his Christmas movies.
Yes, he does.
I watch them all the time.
Okay, Dan.
I think I watch the wrong kind of Christmas movies too much.
You're watching the Hallmark Channel movies. I don't have questions for those movies. Dan, in Die Hard, where did Takagi attend law school?
Harvard Law?
Incorrect. He got his MBA at Harvard.
Oh, I knew it. Damn it.
Stanford?
That's correct.
Yes.
Mark is on the board.
I actually did
Mark is on the board. Entered law school at Stanford.
Damn it.
All right, last question. Mark, in The Santa Claus, what does the girl at the park ask Scott for Christmas?
Let's see. I'm going to go off the board and say, like, a brother.
Nope.
No. Okay.
You're thinking of Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
Damn. No, you go there. Sorry. Yeah, we were recording. I think she wants a doll.
Is incorrect. The correct answer is ballet slippers.
That was a good question.
Yeah, the reason I only get 1 point is there's no Love Actually questions.
That's right.
I don't know Love Actually that well, so you might have done pretty good on that.
Oh, man. Next week, when we watch New Year's Eve, we'll do Love Actually questions because it's the same movie.
Well, now I got blown up on it.
Yeah. Those three movies are essentially the same movie.
Yeah.
That and Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our probably, I don't know what you guys clocked in at last week, but this might be the quickest They Call Us a Movie episode ever.
Yes. Which,
thankfully, because it was a slog.
Yeah, we bullshitted about the turtles for more than we talked about the actual special.
Yeah, we went into some turtle talk, so that helped.
No, I listened, but I don't remember how much it was. But
it's a step shorter than that.
Yeah, I think it might be. So I think we're going to start trying to do maybe weekly. I don't know. We'll see how the new year takes us. But for at least the moment, the Main Naming Podcast is on hiatus. We're just having more fun with this. I think we were struggling to find things to talk about that haven't already been talked about, and we kind of felt like we were talking into the void. This one, I think, feels a little more like we're bringing something that, you know, I mean, there are other podcasts like this. We're not saying
dedicated
that
to bad
movies, but I think it's a niche kind of a topic. So we're enjoying it more. And we're watching bad movies and we're bitching about them. So we'll probably be back next week. Maybe see how the holidays go. Maybe next week is the outlier moving forward, just because, you know, people get crazy busy over the holiday week, but we'll see. So you could find us on Podbean is where we post these directly. It's theycalledusamovie.podbean.com. Which links us to just about every podcast service, iTunes, Stitcher. We are on Google Play Podcasts and any other podcast streaming app. I use Overcast, which we show up at all the time. We are part of the Main Naming Network, and that you could get into contact with us at themainnaming.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're at the Main Damie. What else am I forgetting? What is anything you guys want to plug? I threw some shade at the MCU podcast, but
you did. We're gonna hopefully get it back. We've seen a couple good movies recently. Jen is she's very jealous of They Called This a Movie because she feels like it takes. She said she does the artwork, and this is what she gets.
Well, she can watch the next movie and she could join.
Yeah, you should do that.
You gotta get the mic fixed though if you're gonna have two people on.
That's fine. We can work on that. Dan wants to watch Rubber.
Yeah, we'll have to try and figure out a way to fit that into a theme.
I do wanna get the MCU back up and running because we just recently saw Spider-Verse.
Nice.
Nice.
So that's something that I kind of wanted to review, but we don't have the space for them for it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna get there.
Yeah,
we enjoy doing it, so it'll make a comeback sooner or later.
Yeah, you're the only podcast on this network that reviews most the recent movies, so you got to get back into that.
Right, we got to keep up with the times, and sometimes video games. Yes.
Yeah.
And then rolling into that, I'll have my I'll do my top five favorite games of the year with a couple other categories in there, and that'll post, you know, probably the 29th, I would say. You know, the last Friday of the year.
Okay. So, don't promise anything you can't do.
No. I can do it. I already have my list.
Okay. Yeah.
I just got to write. I'm just not doing a video this year.
Sure.
I tried to do one last year, and that's what stopped that from ever coming out. So.
What was your number one last year?
My number one last year was a game called Pyre.
Okay.
Yeah. Followed by Horizon, I believe, was two.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's all the ways you get in contact with the site. Dan is daquino122 on Twitter, correct?
Yes, sir.
And Mark is off the mark tweet, correct?
Yes, sir.
I am at AntDelVec. And this has been They Call This a Movie. And as we always do, we tell the director of the movie that we just watched to go fuck himself. And this week, the honor goes to Nicholas Webster. So, for Dan and for Mark, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling Nicholas Webster to go fuck himself.